Welcome to DBM, the premium AV distributor delivering unparalleled video and audio solutions for your clients. Discover what Inspired Dwellings said after recently partnering with us on a groundbreaking project.
At Inspired Dwellings, we've had the privilege of working with DBM on some truly exceptional projects, including our hand-painted cinema project that was crowned Best Media Room Level 1 at the 2024 CEDIA EMEA Smart Home Awards. DBM's top-tier products, including the Barco, Braggy Projector, and Meridian DSP-520 and DSP-320 architectural speakers were essential in creating an immersive luxury cinema experience. The innovative solutions and high-performance technology seamlessly integrates into any design, enhancing both sound and picture quality without compromise.
Simplify your projects and elevate your AV integration with DBM today. From premium solutions to stress-free planning, we're here to redefine your audiovisual experience.
Hello everybody and welcome to The Integrated Home, the podcast that's produced by the home integration community for the home integration community. My name is Jeff Hayward and we're here at the CEDIA Tech and Business Summit in Edinburgh, in front of a fantastic live audience to learn about the regrets and successes of life as an integrator in the company of Ben Pratt from White Onyx Automation and Stuart Lillis from Limitless Automation. Welcome to The Integrated Home. Amazing audience. Right, who are you and describe your business? I'm going to go with Stuart first.
My name's Stuart Lillis, so I run Limitless Automation. We are a traditional home automation company, but we have a huge passion for cinema, all things lighting control and entertainment.
And Ben, can you tell me who you are, describe your business and tell me what you're doing in Edinburgh?
So I'm Ben Pratt from White Onyx Automation. A bit similar to Stuart, we sort of rub each other's shoulders in terms of what we offer. But I'm in Edinburgh on a takeover. It's a failed project that we're coming to rescue.
Literally rubbing shoulders.
Yeah.
Long way for you to come, but glad you're here. And I just wanted to go right back to the beginning, if you can remember that far back, to what first drew you into the smart home industry and what your first project looked like.
Okay, so it was 2016 and I just started as a lead electrician for a high-end builder in London, and I remember walking in and seeing a Lutron panel thinking, what on earth is that? And then immediately after that I saw speakers in a ceiling which I'd never seen before in my life and was like, this is mental. And then a TV popped out from under a bed, and at that point I was like, okay, I need to know how this works. And yeah, that was the beginning of the journey to where I am today. And first project, it's a bit of a difficult one because I spent a lot of my time, I wouldn't say taking over, but altering installs to give them a little bit of oomph where they were lacking. So I'd end up touching a few people's Lutron installs rather than doing my own. So doing bits that people said couldn't be done.
Interesting. And what about you, Stuart? How was your first experiences?
I'm one of these strange people that's just always done this. So it's genuinely...
What, from the cot?
Yeah, from the cot. So I came out with a screwdriver in each hand. And right, but no, this was my Saturday job for beer money when I was studying. So I was studying to work in recording studios and things like that. And then it was music and audio technology and electronics. But then quickly realised I had rose-tinted glasses on that whole industry. But yeah, and I just fell in love with it. It was kind of... like I say, it was the Saturday job, and then the summer would come along and I would do it full time, and then kind of just absolutely fell in love with it. I was quite lucky. It was really, I'm going to set my age away, but it was a kind of early noughties. So I mean, compared to what the industry now, automation was literally, we just went from CRT screens to plasma screens, you know. That was automation and Lin Connect multi-room audio. So way back in the day.
CD changers and all that
stuff. It was not a multi-disc CD changer, 300 disc changer. You know how many of them. Yeah. I was the apprentice that had to sit with, do you remember your CD booklets?
Yeah.
I had to number them all and type in by hand every single track and every single CD for 300 CDs.
Things have moved on. And looking back, Ben, what was the moment in your career when you first thought, what on earth have I gotten myself into?
Bought that from day one and I'm still thinking that. it always seems like it's going to be able to just work first time round, right? And yeah, it never does. But no, I think again, because a lot of my stuff was takeovers, I was on projects where I didn't really have full jurisdiction. There was parts of the systems that I couldn't even get to, and I'm having to make, you know, weird phone calls to be like, hi, I'm on your site doing X, Y, Z. No, any chance you could do da-da-da for me? And so, yeah, from then I was like, why have I even embarked on this? It's not what I thought it would be, you know? But yeah, stuck it out and here we are.
What kept you going in those moments when you thought, geez, not another one of these?
Do you know what? It's as difficult as it can be, there's no greater feeling than the outcome. Yeah. You know, that's what does it for me. It's being able to either do something that somebody else couldn't do or they can't do, or, you know, completely just resolving an issue that's been ongoing for way too long, or any of the above, you know, just to set off trying to do something and achieve it. Yeah, there's no better feeling.
What about you, Stuart?
Well, similar thing, but I was just going to say, do you not think there's a massive, as an industry, maturing? It used to always drive me insane, like, it was a long time ago, still the largest connected home in Scotland. But I remember even sitting with the manufacturer. We had this place that was basically designed so it could get turned into a country club when he was finished with it, because nobody could really afford it as a residence afterwards. But we're practically damn near at handover, and you're sitting with the manufacturer and like, yeah, we think it'll work. We think it'll work, and we're like, this is multi-hundred thousands of pounds worth of control, and we're just like, we can't be at a stage of, we think it's going to work, and that wouldn't happen nowadays. Mm. You know what I mean? And it's just, but we had to go through those growing pains as an industry, and a lot of it's like kind of self-policing. I think we've talked about this before with the like social media and kind of things like that. You just can't get away with that nowadays, you know. And it's just the like, and we've chatted about it today. It's like the whole kind of keeping it simple theory. Like it should just work. You know what I mean? There's nothing more painful than when you go into a project and they, oh yeah, they said that we can't switch the lightener on and off because that was in a different VLAN or that was in a different network and it doesn't work. It's like, is there a light switch? Does it not work? You're like, somebody's failed. This interface does not work.
So that whole sort of beta testing on the integrator has kind of changed?
No, it can't be. It was always, I think people were learning on projects a lot more, you know, and yeah, I think those days they had to be gone. But again, like I say, our industry had to mature.
And was there one project for you that went spectacularly sideways and you thought, but you learn a lot from that experience?
Well, we chatted about this, but we've had issues on... And it's not like kind of tooting your own horn, but I'd like to think I've always just made them right. It's just kind of, for me, it's particularly in tech, mistakes happen, changes happen. But as an industry, we're service providers. The most important thing is recognizing mistakes and fixing them quicker. It's like, find mistakes quick, fix them quicker, ideally before your client is even aware. And then, that's the way I like to do it.
Yeah, similar. I mean, there's nothing that I could say has gone horribly wrong that we haven't fixed. And if anything, it's probably, you know, even better for the challenge. I don't think there's anything out there that works 100% all the time, every time.
There's an attitude thing that I loved, like, because I've been helping Ben out in a project the last couple of days, but we've been looking at some things and it's a takeover project, so there's some things that are just not quite the way that either of us would do it, but it was really refreshing. I looked at the keypad and I was like, this should really be like this, shouldn't it? It's a bit of a pain. But we're going to have to fix it, and you're just like 100%. You do it right, and then they're just like, that's it. Then we won't hear from it again, you know. So, but having that attitude of it just has to be right.
And what about the technology? Have you ever had to deal with something that really let you down and thought, I'm not going to go near that again? Or what did you learn from those experiences?
Again,
no need to name brands.
No. Do you know what? I was actually chatting to somebody out on we're at the CDA Tech Summit here, so a lot of a lot of the key manufacturers within our industry are all here. The one that really frustrates me is the standards that you think are going to stick. Like, I'm a big fan of protocols and kind of, we can talk to all these different manufacturers and they're all going to talk and it's just going to work. I think as an industry, we've been burned. We've been burned with CEC and HDMI. It's like, oh yeah, you talk to that manufacturer, talk to that one, that will just work. For me, wireless technology to make retrofittable solutions slicker. But we've been there with Zigbee. We've been there with Z-Wave, now we've got Matter, and it's like everybody's getting excited because Apple have got behind it, and you're like, oh, this could be the one. You're just like, I've been through this too many times now, you know. So I think standards that don't stick is the one for me, and just kind of, and I'm trying not to get too excited when I see something like Matter come around and all these big boys getting behind it, and then 5 years later, you're in Matter 2.0 and it still doesn't work, you know.
Yeah. Same for you, Ben?
Yeah, exactly the same. It's like when we was at that job earlier on, it's like how difficult was it for us to get the AVR to connect to the TV? It's like we're two of like the industry's finest. Why are we struggling here? What is going on?
Literally, like, one in the room is like, try this format, try that format, try that. Yeah. Stuck. Right. Okay.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And it's just frustrating. Like we was saying about the, you know, standards of cable and stuff. There's some stuff that we don't need standards on. I don't need to be told what color cable should do X, Y, Z. Yeah. But there should be, you know, some some bits just to just make this stuff easier and make it work.
But I tell you what, and it's not a shout out to, I'm going to get Shane in the back here, but cabling's a big one. Like, if you buy, there's category cable that we all use for all of our installs, so we've got category 5, category 5E, Cat 6, Cat 6A, I'm hoping we're all using as a bedrock in most of our projects, you should just be able to go to a manufacturer and say, there's Cat 6A, that meets a standard. But the amount of times we have to tell clients, oh, but the electrician on site reckons he's got some Cat 6 in the van, I'm just like, I don't want to be an arse, but a lot of the stuff you're picking up at wholesalers, it's marked as category 6, I bet you it doesn't meet standard. Mm. And the good stuff is not that much more expensive. And things like that it's got a standard on it. It should mean something, and it doesn't, and it's hugely frustrating.
So what about the one thing that really led to a breakthrough, kind of like, I don't know, Damascus moment, if you like, where you thought, oh my God, that's not worked for me, and I'm going to change forever in how I do something. Have you ever had any experiences like that?
I think at one point when I came into the industry and was sort of stars in my eyes, thought that, you know, I wanted to do these huge jobs with every bit of tech in it that I could find. And then slowly realizing that is, you know, a bigger pain than the arse that I want it to be, you know? And it's like, there's some people that specialize in single room solutions. There's some people that specialize in CCTV and access and security. And it's like, hold on a minute, you're sitting here trying to do everything? Like, really? You know, is that what you want to do? And I think, to be fair, it was the social media that made that, you know, made me feel like, oh, that's what I want to do. And it was, having to realize that actually that's it's too far left. It's
When it's easy to get seduced by that kind of, oh my, wow, yeah, that's amazing.
I think you've got to go there though to realize that this isn't what I want. Because had I have never, I'd still be like, man, I'd really like to have the job where I can do everything. And then at the point that I've got everything, it's like, this is not what I want to do. You know, like, I don't want to call about, oh, my camera's a bit fuzzy. That's not really what I'm here for, you know?
Yeah.
So, well, you're a big car guy. The more complicated the car, you know?
You know, I'd much rather have, I like fixing problems. So I'd much rather have a problem that's going to keep me entertained, not something stupid that I don't care about. I'm not bothered that you're,
I've said it before, like, we've all come circles and like we're all loving cinema, but then there's a lot of people investing in their homes again, and people, there's a lot of things that have galloped in pace as far as technology, as far as the amount of like Apple and Amazon, they've all got high-res audio solutions now, whereas in the past it was, oh, your Tidal or your Cubase or your, well, you've still got Spotify that are trying to get away with CD quality, but it's easy now, and we've all got gigabit speeds at home, so there's no excuse for having poor audio, not having 4K in every room. So all that has galloped around us and made it easy. But I think as an industry, we're like, it's hard to get excited about providing Wi-Fi around someone's house, and it's like, oh, look, the gate opens. It's cool, isn't it? No, it's helpful. Yeah. But you know, it's like, but you've never went round to someone's house and they've like, come down in the garden room, I've got Wi-Fi. But if you went down and there was a cinema room, it's a totally different thing.
It's completely moved on. What used to be cool is now just standard.
Big milestone moment. So what was the one sort of big success that stood out for you and made you think, I'm in the right industry?
Do you know, I've had a couple recently, and as much as we've said, I love the entertainment side and really kind of been passionate about that, there's a couple of things on the automation side that have massively hit home recently. One was a client with mobility needs, and his health has suffered and has got progressively worse. But years ago, we put in an automated lighting and heating system. And it wasn't until recently they had to upgrade things, I realized that he cannot live around his home without this automation system. And another one that was a completely new one to me, I had a client with, they have a neurodivergent son, and they really need to stay on top of the technology in the home. And it was just Wi-Fi scheduling, a really super simple thing. Anybody in our industry is probably putting a software-defined network in, where scheduling's super easy. But it was literally coming in the week after, and they said, you've changed our lives. Like, he is a different kid. And it's just basically removing, we've already automated so that this 4G drops off at 10 o'clock, now the Wi-Fi drops at 10 o'clock, and we can block devices. And it's like, we've got our son back. And I was like, wow, such a tiny thing, and it happens in every project. And I was like, I never really thought of that as a benefit. But and I've got young kids, scares the life out of me getting social media, but I hadn't really appreciated the power of just the kill switch.
The kill switch. Okay. Beers have been delivered in the middle of this podcast recording, so if you can hear some noises, there you go.
Well, so I'm good.
That's the one soft drink in the room.
Yeah.
what about you, Ben? I guess from what you've been saying, that sort of customer service moment has been a big win for you and something where you get real pleasure out of a client being happy at the end of a job.
It's nice to hear, especially when they've been impressed by someone before and then having realised that, okay, that's now wasn't so impressive. We went and calibrated a cinema for a client who'd had it for about 2 years. And when I took over the job, I said, I'm not going to touch the cinema room because I know how people get. That's their room. They've designed it, blah, blah, blah. And many times I'd wanted to go in and have a little play. And I thought, no, leave it alone. And then one day he just messaged me, said, something doesn't sound right. I've sat down. Something doesn't sound right. Can you come and have a look? And I thought, if you're asking me to have a look, I'm not going to say no. And we tore the room apart. we literally went in, ripped the fabric off the walls. Their subwoofer was loose in there and all sorts. There's little things like hardware was rattling. It was the latches in the doors. It was all sorts. And then we dived into the amps and DSP and we can see that, you know, they've just done the most weirdest of things. And then we spent 2 days recalibrating. And, you know, I like it because he sends me voice notes. And the voice note that I got the next day almost brought me to tears to hear, because he's a big music man. And I know the struggles that he's gone through where they put four subs in, it wasn't enough, they added a fifth. And so now the room looks awful because he's now got a sub that wasn't meant to be there sitting in the corner. And he's just like, it's just not right. And he said, Ben, I've got tingles. Like, I've sat down and I don't know how you've done this to the room when I thought it was great before. And, you know, it's moments like that. It's like, yeah, this is what it's all about.
And I suppose a lot of the time on those kind of jobs, you guys, you're seen as the magicians because the client doesn't know whether you're telling them something that's going to work or something that ain't going to work.
And I think that's one thing that I've picked up along the way. You were saying about the back end stuff. For me, it's the front end. It's literally, I don't hold back from clients. Like, I don't speak to people with a sort of a sales voice or like, you get me, and that is, do you know what I mean? You get me. You get South London, you get me. Like, wherever I am, you get it. And, you know, if something's awful, you're gonna hear about it. I find that a lot of people sort of approach their customers the other way around because they think that they're well off, they're rich, they're important people, they need to speak to them a certain way and act a certain way, but they can see right through it. And it's just almost like, I'm here to make things nice and easy, quick, you know, transparent. And it's just opened up that the trust that I've got is, you've seen it, look at that client's like, he's like, cool, just whatever you think you need to do, just get on and
trust
do it.
Trust away.
Yeah.
But I think that with you being an installer as well, there is a level of trust where we're in your home, you're seeing what we're doing every day. Mm. And do you know, actually, there's always like I know Roddy's like, Roddy from Home Cinema Build Systems, he's a friend of a lot of folk in here, but he had it with me. I said, do you know, I carry like a shirt around in the back of the van and like, I do it. And it's like, it just seems, he said, why would you do that? Like, why would you dress like you don't know how to do the job? It's like, and like from that day, like the shirt, the khakis or whatever were in the bin. I was like, yeah, no, just go out. Well, today I'm in my install gear.
Yeah, so it is a weird one. People expect you, like, you've got a good company, everyone should be in uniform. Like, I had these jogging bottoms on today. Like, I don't care. Like, it doesn't change what I do. Like, at the end of the day, whether I wear a suit or I wear these, I'm still going to get the job done. So it shouldn't even matter. Let me be comfortable and do what I need to do. And
but then as people get it. Like, we're talking about the Instagram thing. Like, the amount of amazing projects I've won, I was like, I I'm doing a demo room now, but I've not got, like, a demo room. I've not got somewhere to bring someone. Mm. It's like, you're going to spend dozens of thousands of pounds with me today. It's like, you've not seen anything. It's like, I watch your Instagram stories. I see the level of care you go into every day. Yeah. So, like, you walk the walk, I see it.
Your social media has become your showroom, hasn't it?
Yeah, 100%.
What about for you? Have you had a project like Ben that kind of exceeded expectations for the client and really made you happy?
There's loads of projects like that where you come in and you kind of, you just blow people's socks off, you know? And I was chatting about that. I had a client that, they were out of the country for 3 months, and he phoned me at 10:30 at night. I should have been pissed off, but he phoned me to say that the first thing he wanted to do when he got home was go in and watch a movie in the cinema. He'd been holding off; he wasn't watching any of the movies that come out because he wanted to watch them in the cinema. I was like, "That's amazing, thanks. Hey, I'm going to put the kids to bed. Thanks for letting me know." But yeah, little moments like that where you see. And you're not just ticking boxes, you're not just selling black boxes. And I was going to say, it's like, if anybody's getting into the industry, it's like, stop selling black boxes. Just work out what the experience should be, work your way back, and stop selling to your budget, because your client doesn't want that. You know, they want you know, they want the best.
They want different things.
And they'll be quick to let you know if you're miles out, you know, so. Yeah.
And in terms of defining success, Ben, I mean, it's being a successful businessman, obviously, but are there other things that really matter to you to be successful in business?
The recognition's been nice. You know, winning an award last year.
Newcomer of the year,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah, newcomer of the year was, you know, that was nice to get that recognition. It's just, you know, it just shows me that I'm doing something right.
What about you, Stuart? Newcomer of the year, perhaps this year, maybe. Down,
it's 25 years later, and I'm just waiting for it to come back. I wasn't a senior member at the time, but I want. Well, do you know, part of it is that, you know, for me, the success thing is it's less about the, it's managing, balancing kind of life and business. I've been in the game a long, long time, but I've only ran a company 6 years. And I often look back, if I started this in my 20s and it was all piss and vinegar, I would have had, I'd have been looking at it completely the wrong way. Do you know what I mean? Whereas it's not as much a lifestyle business, but it's very important for me now that I balance home life with work. And I'm not always perfect at it. I'm always finding the balance. But being able to provide at home, but still having that element of being there. And I think that makes me a way more successful business. Yeah. And it's more approachable to clients because they're all in the same boat. They're all time poor. They're all trying to find the balance. And so for me, like, I'm glad this kind of happened later on for me, because I would have effed it up if I'd have done it younger.
Was there something that you wish you'd known 5 years ago that would have saved you a lot of time and money if you'd have implemented it?
Trust your gut is that it's so cheesy, but it's 100%. You know, sometimes a client's not for you, or you're just not compatible. Not every compatible client, you're not compliant with or compatible with everyone. Just kind of, if it doesn't feel right, if you don't feel you can add value, just be open about the conversation. Yeah. Just say, this isn't going to work, or recommend someone else that will be a better fit, because nobody wins.
Do you agree with that, Ben?
Yeah, I agree with that. And I'd probably just to add on, you know, reacting quickly is a massive one.
Okay, what, in responding to emails or picking up the phone to clients, or how?
In everything, really. I think the longer that you, it's such a fast-paced moving industry, the longer that you leave things hanging around, the more to deal with. You know, even if it's little things like, you know, something's happened on site, you need to change direction, do it fast.
Yeah.
You know, do it fast, change direction, do it fast, because, you know, these things, they have a, you know, habit of catching up with each other. And if you are good, you know, you'll be bouncing from one project to the next, and the last thing you need is, you know, stuff hanging over you. Or a lot of the time, people, depends on how you run your business. I'm you know, thankful that, you know, I have a lot of trust, and if I tell my clients that something's needed, or, you know, I've got the green light. So if I see something and I need to change it and it's going to cost me £300, I'm ordering it there and then it's coming tomorrow and I'm getting it fitted. I mean, you see, you know, we put the arc balance in. I didn't even tell him. I don't have to tell him. Yeah. You know, I know the job needs it and we're going to order it and we're going to get it done, rather than me have to tell him tell me, oh, yes, I'll okay it. And then by then, you know, next week I'm meant to be somewhere else, I've got to try and fit it in.
But you do, that's something, our industry's got a terrible reputation for that, and that's something we're working against, and that's what we need. Do you know what I mean? It's always what people say is, name the brand. Oh, that's one of those systems, that one of those things that's hugely expensive and it never works. I was like, no, it's like the last 5% wasn't done. Or talk about, like, if a lighting system hasn't got a processor to allow you to access it and integrate with other products, you're like, that's the bit that makes it special. Just go that last 5-10%. You're so close. Just make it happen, you know. And yeah, we need to, as an industry, be aware of that and just kind of, and just, I'm not saying call people out and we'd never ever name and shame any of those kind of things, but let's make everybody rise and tide.
Yeah, get everybody.
Ships, you know, get everybody up to a better level.
Yeah. Yeah. And within the industry, is there anyone that's stood out for you, Ben, as a mentor or a peer? I mean, aside from Matt Nimmons of Celia, obviously.
Steve.
Even a client who unexpectedly taught you stuff.
No, it's because of this man here that I'm here today in this room.
Steve Carter.
Yeah. It's because of Steve that I've told him already. It's because of him that I'm in this room right now.
Is that right?
Yeah, 100%.
Thank you.
No, that's no lie. I was walking around. Where? What show was it?
Was
it like an Elex or something?
Yeah, it was.
Walking around Elex, and he was standing at the Cedia booth, and I came over and I spoke to him, and that's what started this. Then he came to see me, and this was at the times when, you know, people were saying that Cedia, you know, Cedia's no good, doesn't win you work, and blah, blah. And he came and he sat down. He's like, look, you haven't got, I just want to explain to you what Cedia is. And then showed me about the white papers and da-da-da. And I mean, you've seen, like, I've done my fair share of training, you know, and yeah, so without him coming along and doing that, I wouldn't have. And the people that I've met through Cedia, and I've then gone on to learn stuff, you know, meeting Goff and, you know, Owen and Tom Daly and stuff like that. It's like I never would have met them lot and done the stuff that I'm doing today, you know, without that introduction into Cedia. So
that's
yeah,
fantastic.
As cliche as it sounds, it's because of that.
No, I've said the same. It was like, well,
come on, pick someone other than Steve. Come on, he's going to
get it. What I love is the fact that Steve worked on me. He got me in.
He worked on me.
And then I signed up with Jen just for. I think yeah. I was over at ISE, you went to the toilet, and I was like, where's the form? No, but it's like, Cedia. Unfairly had a reputation for certain things, but I mean, it was actually chatting to Steve that kind of made us really realize, like, Cedia are flipping around, they're doing things, they're listening, you know. And it's, I'm not saying they can always flip on a dime and do things that we want them to do straight away and everybody's got a different opinion, but it's guys like Steve actually getting the word out there and chatting and being completely approachable. Matt as well, you know, the fact that you can get them on the phone and say, hey, this is shit, and it's like, yeah, I know it's shit, we're gonna fix it, you know, give us some time.
I guess, Ben, coming from the electrical industry as well, maybe there's a different sort of community here in this industry as well, where you can talk to people and you know, bring people like Stuart onto a job when you need him and stuff.
Do you find it way more welcoming now? Because I thought there was, like, even 6 years ago, as an industry, we didn't welcome in electricians. And for me, it was just like, you're different gravy, but it's a maturer industry. It was like, there's things that the electrical industry, plumbing industry, and all these kind of things do that we could be benefiting from, and you're not embracing these people coming into our industry and they understand signal paths for things like lighting control. Whereas we've put in a couple of amplifiers, so we think we can do a lighting control system, you know. And it's
do you know what it is? It's because there needs to be a bit more awareness of it from an apprentice out of college level.
Yeah.
When you're told, you know, when these young kids' mums and dads are telling them, get yourself a trade, you'll never be out of work. They're looking at carpentry, bricklaying, plumbing, electrical. Do you know what I mean? They're not even noticing an avenue, you know? So shout out to those ones that are getting into the colleges and making people see. But, you know, if this was spoken about on the same level as carpentry and plumbing and electrics, then we would see a huge uptake, because it's a much more, you know, cooler industry than the rest of the dead trades.
Totally agree. Lessons then, what's the biggest lesson that this working in this industry has taught you, Stuart? What would you say?
Just listen to your clients, I think is the main thing. I've the amount of, again, it's like the kind of the rescue jobs and things like that, where just people don't listen. They go in and they try to sell boxes and say, this is what you want, this is that. It's like, you didn't even try to talk to these people and say, look, this first thing, like, even when people we want a cinema, we've been in ex client's house, they've got this amazing cinema, and then you have a chat with them and it's just like, well, what do you watch? It's like, well, you won't benefit from that room, but let me show you this. And often it's like, and it's going to cost you X minus 20%. It's not, they wanted that room because they needed a cine wide screen and they needed a masking screen, they needed all this, but you watch very few movies, let's not do that, you know. So, and it's but just tailoring things, we can just listen.
Sound advice?
I'd say communication, because I'd never really had a sort of a client-facing role where I need to speak to people, you know, being employed previously. I just get told what to do and go and do it. So it's taught me how to communicate and, you know, learn the hard way of, okay, that is not the way to communicate. And really just to, you know, be myself and not sell the product, but sell the experience and ultimately not sell at all. That's literally it, you know, you get to a point where you don't have to sell. It's just like, you know, I know this works. This is, you know, this is what it does. This is what you're going to get from it. And it's either they want it or they don't.
And do you think client expectations have changed? I mean, they must have done as they've become more aware of it through social?
No, I think the client's expectation is always the same as what they expect from you as a person or from the project. That is, you know, you to be, you know, open, honest, trustworthy, don't pull my pants down, the end product's supposed to work, do as I wanted it to, etc., you know. So that's always been the same, it always will be the same. It's all the moving parts in the middle that, you know, get swapped around. But I'm saying to you that, you know, at the end of the day, we're all in business to make money. The aim of the game is to move the money from the client's pocket into your pocket. The more the better. It doesn't mean rob people while you're doing it, you know. So it's very simple. It's very black and white. They have an expectation. You fulfill it. You get paid. It's, you know, it's very transactional.
Everybody's happy.
Yeah, the stuff in the middle is what makes it all different. But if you strip it back, it's all exactly the same.
So when you've got new integrators coming to you for advice or talking to you about the industry or even new clients, have they got expectations or questions or things that they say that you're constantly correcting?
There's definitely kind of processes that I do as far as I've got this thing, and it's, you will, particularly when you're kind of quite open on Instagram, kind of thing, the amount of people that chat, I mean, it's
of
always,
course, yeah.
What do I do with that brand or what do I do with that brand? It's like, you need to just think about the processes, about how you do things. I'm big on like everything within a home should work under its own steam. And then your control system, say for example, should be working on top of that and just making it super slick, super easy to work. But things like, I used the example earlier on about like not having a light switch, you know, like little things like that. I've had one client where they wanted colored lighting in the kids' rooms, which says, not ideal. Let's make sure we've got some high CRI lights and just, the kids are gonna be studying in there. Like, let's, we're having coloured light and pixel lighting everywhere is great, it's cool, but it's not for that room. But they didn't want light switches for some mad reason, but the kids didn't have, they weren't allowed mobile phones in their room. I was like, this fails the babysitter test immediately.
Yeah.
there's nobody, you can't sell this house, you know? So
yeah.
Just stay into your processes, like everything should work. And then if one element of the build fails, everything else continues, you know?
What about you, Ben? Common misconceptions that people come to you with that you think, you just don't get it?
I think a lot of the time people think that it doesn't take much to make them work the way that they should. You know, we've all seen what, you know, auto EQ can do to an install. We've all seen what, you know, and sort of a quick start wizard can do to a network, you know, and it's everyone thinks that they can just pick this up and just install it and it will just sort of work itself. The problem is that if you don't take the time to understand it and work out how it actually works, you'll never know what to do when it goes wrong, or you'll never understand it to that level to, you know, install some confidence that you know how it works and you know you're the best person for the job.
Looking to the future, AI and all that, any trend or technology you're excited or worried about in the next few years?
I think it's quite exciting. It's a good tool if you know how to use it.
Yeah.
You know, I think you need to be smart enough to be able to, you know, essentially G-check what it's doing to make sure that it's correct, but just save you a lot of time. You know, there's a lot of people out there that will, whatever it spits out, and I mean, I can't blame them, because the way that the, you know, the modern kids are taught is, you know, that they can go on the internet and they can use that as a reference. Yeah. When I was at school, we had to go to library books, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. Now they can just Google it and then just type the web page as their reference, and it's whatever you see on the internet is gospel. And so, you know, there's going to be people out there that are just going to, I've seen it on a few jobs where companies have just like ChatGPT'd an electrical load calculation. And I've looked at it, I'm like, this just makes no sense whatsoever. Yeah. But you have to know it makes no sense.
Yeah.
Because to the client who didn't know, as far as they're concerned, that was correct information. You know, and so, but it can save a lot of time. And as long as people are, I mean, the other day it wrote me a script for a Shelly device. I'd never done scripting before, but I was able to check that it worked. I was able to put it in and make sure that it done what it was supposed to do. And to be fair to it, I went back and forth 6-7 times and it asked me, oh, can you confirm this? Can you do that? And it was like talking to a human being. It's like I had a weird, like, you know, foreign engineer doing some crazy stuff for me. But at the end of like, you know, half an hour later, we got this script out and it worked. You know, that was useful.
Yeah.
But had I have just someone asked me to provide them a script and I'd done that and delivered the first one, it didn't work.
Yeah.
So you've got to be able to know how to use it.
Yeah. Last question, Ben. If someone came up to you and said, I'm starting out as an integrator, what would be your one piece of advice?
Don't be. Don't be a footballer. No,
a
YouTuber. No, it would be do your research. It'd be do your research, yeah. Like I've probably spent more hours, you know, off the tools than on the tools to enable me to know what I'm doing. It's not cheap because it's time, but, you know, you need the understanding. I guess you've got to see it this way, because you don't have to train to come in this industry. Like, anyone off the street could wake up tomorrow and decide they want to be an integrator and it'd be physically possible. They could go and start a company, approach Disties and get product and sell it. Whereas to be an electrician, you've got to go through years of training. And so effectively, if you want to be an integrator, you need to go back and do those years of training.
Yeah.
You know, at some point, you're going to have to do it. Otherwise, you're going to come unstuck.
Anything for you?
We're a friendly industry. Reach out to your, reach out to your CDA or kind of trade bodies, and don't be scared to reach out to other installers, and don't be scared to collaborate. It's massive for me. It's like, the amount that you'll pick up working with other people and outsource the things that you don't want to do in-house. It makes you massively more efficient as a company. Like I'm a K&X partner. I just finished a 10-bed boutique hotel and I had another company come in to do 90% of the programming. It just made way more sense. I was able to be more efficient with the client's time. Obviously, it's a privilege to spend your client's money. So it's you should be doing that efficiently for them and getting the most out of it. So yeah, reach out and don't be scared to outsource. I mean, even on your design side, I mean, I think we use the same guy for some of our designs. He's incredible. You don't have to have all of it in-house. It makes you can offer, you have a better offering outsourcing the things that are not efficient for you to do in-house.
Great stuff. Excellent. Thanks, Ben and Stuart, for sharing those insights with us today. That was excellent. Thank you, Cedia, too, for hosting us here at the Tech and Business Summit today on a glorious Edinburgh day. You can find out more about the Integrated Home on Instagram at Integrated Home Podcast and on LinkedIn at the Integrated Home Podcast. The Integrated Home is brought to you with the support of Distributed by Meridian. We support Together for Cinema and we are a Wildwood Plus production.
The Integrated Home supports Together for Cinema. Together for Cinema is a community interest company that collaborates with the AV industry to design and install cinema rooms in children's hospices and other deserving locations across the UK. So far, thanks to the huge generosity of manufacturers, distributors and integrators freely giving of their time, products and expertise, we've created 46 dedicated cinemas equivalent to an installation value of about £1.2 million. In these special places, families, staff and volunteers are now enjoying fantastic movie experiences together and helping to create very, very special memories. Help our industry continue to make a difference. Visit togetherforcinema.co.uk and find out how you can be involved to make short lives just that little bit better.